face of springs.
Well, hello there. So I got to tell you a story as we get started today. My name's Brett. Good to see you this morning. So to celebrate my 40th birthday a few years ago, I thought it would be fun. Listen to this. I thought it'd be fun to hike 43 miles in one day. So there's this challenge. It's called the Appalachian Trail, or on the Appalachian Trail, it's called the Four-State Challenge. And I thought it would be fun to ask some friends of mine to join me as we try to conquer the Four-State Challenge in 24 hours. And so it is a stretch that goes from the Virginia line through West Virginia, just a little bit of West Virginia, all the way 40 miles through Maryland, and then you cross over into the Pennsylvania line. And that's the Four-State Challenge. So I asked my friends, Josiah, Glenn, and Paul, to join us, to join me on that day. And we began that journey early in the morning, 5 a.m. And as we hiked along, I can remember on this remarkable journey the different emotions that were ranging as each mile went by, and they didn't seem to go by fast enough. I remember about 10 miles in thinking, wow, this is great. 10 miles in, why do I feel so badly? It's only 10 miles. Oh, good, I have 33 more to go. And yet in that journey, I had my friends with me, and there's something about doing an adventure like that with friends that make all the difference. Do we have the picture of the guys? And so there we are. We're crossing over a bridge. I think that's 70 there in Maryland. And I've driven underneath that several times. I always dreamed of being able to not only hike it, but to hike it on the Four-State Challenge. And so there we were that moment. You see that look in the bottom corner of Paul's face. Paul, I didn't do a good job of, I was kind of faking it. Paul was real. He was forcing the smile miles and miles into that. You know, it was a great time. And I remember in that journey, like any journey, especially a long journey, there are challenges along the way. And I remember one of the things I just longed for in this challenge was to finish well. I remember not only wanting to finish well, but longing to see my wife at the finish line, because she was there to pick us up at the Pennsylvania line, longing. Paul, somewhere about maybe mile 20, he had longing too. He was longing for pizza. Unfortunately, we finished after midnight and all the pizza places were closed, right? So he wasn't married yet, so that's why he wasn't longing for Deborah. He was longing for pizza. You know, what do you long for? What's the thing that your heart really just yearns for? What are the desires of your heart? You know, life really is a journey, and it sometimes can be a difficult journey. It can be a difficult time when you're trying to live for God and trying to take care of the people that God's placed in your life, but it can also be a really fulfilling one. And we're in Psalm 84 today, and as the writer of this psalm captures this journey beautifully, we want to explore what it really means to long after God on this journey we called life. So we're going to start off Psalm 84. It's broken up into three stanzas. So we're going to read the first four verses right now. I'm going to read them for us. And so verse 1, Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This living God that we serve is a good God. And when we think about the opportunity to spend time with God, we should have this desire in our hearts and in our souls to yearn for Him, even to the point that it's all we can think about. It goes on to say, verse 5, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, that she may have her young, a place near your altar. So he's talking about there at the temple, even the birds have a place there at the temple. The temple was a place of worship, a place of sacrifice, a place of a renewal and commitment. And so he was even looking forward, maybe even a little bit jealous about the birds who were always there at the temple in the presence of God, yearning to be as close as the birds are. And he goes on to say, Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever pleasing to you. Lord Almighty, my King, my God. So we are on a journey. And on this journey, I think it starts off just as we look through the psalm, we can understand that this is a journey of longing. It's a journey of longing after God. And unfortunately, on this journey, we tend to replace lots of other things with God. We tend to yearn to want to long for other things that are cheap replacements. The reality is that our souls were made to long for God. Your soul was made to long for God. So I want to ask you a question here, summertime here. So perhaps you've done some swimming in a pool recently. Have you ever tried to hold your breath underwater as long as you could? You ever tried that before? And the greater the time you're underwater, the more you long for a breath of air until that desire overwhelms you. And what happens then? Then you try to jump up to the surface as fast as you can to deeply breathe in that air that your body was craving for. You have no other thoughts but meeting your need for air. And like your body needs oxygen to breathe, your soul needs God to truly live. So just like as you take that deep breath, as you sit there, and your body needs that oxygen to keep going, to keep surviving, your soul desperately needs God to truly live a life that honors Him, that makes a difference. We don't think about it that way, though, because the oxygen is obvious to us when we're in the water, our need for it. And the only times where it's time where we really think about how obvious it is that we need God is when we're going through difficult times. Right? Isn't it remarkable how God can use difficult times to remind us of our need for Him and to long for Him? And so may we always be reminded of just like we need air to breathe, we need God for everything. Can you say everything? Everything. We need Him for everything. And so I ask, does your heart cry out for the living God? Do you long to be with God? Do you long for the things of God? Do you desire to go to church and be with His people? Do you desire to spend time alone with God in prayer and in devotions? So does your heart cry out for the living God? Do you have this desperate desire to live for God and to thirst for God and to want to know God like you do breathing? So as I said, this psalm is made up of three stanzas. The first stanza, we can look at this as a journey of longing. The second stanza is a journey of wonder. And I want to read verses 5 through 8. Listen to this. This is amazing. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. So on this journey, we're all on a pilgrimage. We're all on this journey where we're hoping to get somewhere that really matters. We're hoping that when we get to our final destination, that the journey was worth it. We're all longing for our lives to matter. We're all longing. Every human being wants their lives to matter, and they want to feel like they belong. And so on this journey, on this pilgrimage, we're seeking to figure out what life's all about, and does my life matter, and do I really belong as far as God's concern and people's concern. And so he says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. So the valley of Baca was a dry and arid valley. It was a desert. It was a place where if you spent any time in it, you're suddenly parched. You couldn't wait to get the next drip of water. You couldn't wait to find some shade. And as you're on this pilgrimage, going through these difficult times, listen to what happens. This is what the psalmist experienced, that they go from strength to strength. So that valley turned into a place of springs. I wonder if that is a combination of appreciation for the difficult time in the valley, and also in contentment in the valley, and also God showing up to meet your needs in the valley. Probably a little bit of both, huh? Trusting in God and being content, waiting for Him to provide, and then when He provides, you celebrate. So trusting in Him, seeking to be content, and when He shows up, you like, Lord, thank You. You did it again. And that's what the psalmist is saying. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. So the psalmist is saying that God has all the might. There's no one that has more might, more power than God. Amen? Are you thankful for that? He's also saying that He's the God of Jacob. So He's the God who's provided. He's been there for him and for His people since the beginning. He never fails. And so He will provide through the most difficult of valleys in your life. So it's a journey of longing. It's also a journey of wonder. Have you ever been through a valley, and while going through this difficult time in your life, God showed up in some way that was totally unforeseen and remarkable, and it just left you in awe? Who's had that experience before? Where you had a difficult time and suddenly God shows up and it just left you thinking, wow, that's wonder. What happens as you grow to know Jesus, sadly, your heart can easily become calloused and you can lose that sense of wonder. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? That sense of joy from your salvation. That sense of childlike faith. And what I love to see when I'm talking to an older person, someone that's come along before me, I love to see them smile and have the joy of the Lord. Because that tells me that Jesus is working in their life and they're open and receptive to it. That they're excited, they have hope for the future. And when you see it as a younger person, you see it in an older person, doesn't that just, you, younger people, doesn't that just make you excited and help you look forward to the future? Those of you that are in the middle, like me, may we not be so busy with life that we lose the sense of wonder as we're taking care of kids and we're kind of in the middle here, taking care of our parents and our kids. May we never get so caught up in the day-to-day and what's on our calendar and to-do list that we don't pause and just take a walk in the woods. Celebrate the beauty of His creation. Get down to the level of our kids and try to look at life as our kids do. Try to be excited about the things that our kids get excited about, to have this sense of wonder. To study new things like science and see how God, this beautiful, beautiful artist, has created all these things and how much wonder there is in that. Maybe if you're losing your wonder, maybe perhaps you want to dig into a topic in the Bible. And as you dig in, come alongside a trusted friend who's perhaps a little bit further along in their faith journey and dive in together and open up and explore the wonder of God's Word. May we never lose the wonder. The beautiful thing is, God on our journey through the valley, on the way to going to where God has us to go, gives us strength and provision along the way. So we go from strength to strength. I love what Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 33:6. Write this down, look it up later. It's a remarkable verse. Isaiah is an amazing man of God. And the prophet Isaiah says this, and I'm going to call this his morning prayer. Listen to this. Lord, be gracious to us. Can you imagine starting the day just saying, Lord, would you be gracious to me today? We long for you. Imagine just saying, Lord, today I want to long for you this morning. Lord, be gracious to me today. I long for you. Listen to this. Be our strength every morning. Be our strength every morning. It's God's strength that we need to get through the day. And we need to stop pretending that we're doing this on our own, that we even have the ability to do any of this on our own. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. What if you started off every day praying a prayer like Isaiah? Where right when you wake up, your eyes open up, instead of thinking about all the things you got to do, you start off asking God and inviting Him into your day. Asking Him to give you joy and to be your protection and to help you be your strength and your salvation. See, listen, God wants to give us strength and provision. The idea is this: God wants to be your security when you're insecure. God wants to be your security when you're insecure. So think about all the different things that you're insecure about. Your relationships. The biggest relationship, the one that's the most important, is your relationship with Jesus. And out of the overflow of that relationship comes every other relationship. If I'm doing well with God, I'm typically doing well with my wife. If I'm doing well with God, I'm going to do well with my children. If I'm doing well with God, I'm trying to walk with Him, I'm longing for Him, I'm spending time with Him, I'm going to do well with my coworkers. But it all starts with God. We get it backwards. We have a problem with our coworkers, and we think, oh, I need to go to God. Well, what if we just started with God? And then along the way, when the things come up, we actually give those things to God, and He gives us wisdom in those conversations. He helps us in our thinking. And so God wants to be your security when you're insecure. If you're insecure about your body image, praise God that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? God knew what He was doing. And so give that to Him. If you're insecure about your job status and how God's going to provide, listen, He wants to be your security when you're insecure. All these things we spend so much time agonizing over, and God just says, hey, give it to me and trust me and let me direct your path. Let me help you on this journey as you seek to walk with Him. I got you. I got you. That's what God's saying. I have you. I will take care of you. Let me be your security when you're insecure. Unfortunately, instead of doing that, we tend to go to worry. And so if God is our strength and our provision, well, then that means that worry really is just worthless. Amen? It's just worthless. It's unreasonable. To worry about something you can't change is useless. To worry about something you can change is foolish. If you can change it, don't worry about it. Go change it, right? And every time you review a worry in your mind, it just gets bigger. And worry amplifies your problems out of proportion. Listen, worry is also unnatural. It's one of these learned responses in life. And it's one of those things that you have to practice to get good at. And some of you have practiced really, really hard, right? You're good. You're good. And like anything, it becomes a habit. So if it's a habit, it can also be unlearned. Praise God. Amen? It can also be unlearned. And so we really need to understand that it's worthless, it's unnatural, and it's unhelpful. It doesn't help you one bit. God helps you. Worry does not. God makes it better. Worry makes it worse. And so it doesn't work. It doesn't change the past. It can't control the future. It only makes it miserable today. And so worrying about a problem never solves the problem. And I think we worry because we think that God will not take care of us. And so next time you worry, you take yourself back to that valley you went through where God was faithful. And you remind yourself of how He brought springs into that valley. And if you need to get away, which you probably need to do in a time of worry, and you just need to take a little bit of walk and leave your phone in the house and just pray to God and ask Him to show Himself. And pray to God and help Him to remind you of His faithfulness. And then you start giving all those worries and laying them at His feet. Listen, it's hard to have wonder of God when you're worrying. And so I would encourage you to replace your worry with worship. See, you can't worry and worship at the same time. Amen? When I'm worshiping God, I'm not worrying about my problems. I'm also not worshiping my problems, which I think a lot of people do, sadly. But I'm actually showing worth, value, glory. That's what worship means, showing worth. I'm showing worth to the only one who deserves the worth. Amen? I'm worshiping God. And so, turn your worry into worship. See, worry is like a rocking chair. All right, have you heard this before? It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you very far. Right? It gives you something to do, but you don't get very far while you're doing it. And so our hope is that we would give our worry to God and turn that into worship, and God would restore the wonder. Let's look at the last four verses here in the psalm. And so in this final stanza, he says, "Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor at your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell with the wicked." Think about this. This idea of, I'd rather just be as close as I can to where the action is, to where God is moving, to where his presence is, to where his power is felt, to where his people are gathered. I'll even take the lowest job. So we're coming up in a busy season, a great season of ministry, lots of great opportunities to serve people in our church, both campuses, and also in our county. Wouldn't it be great if we just said, when we see these needs and these opportunities to serve people, that you said, you know what, I'll sign up. Here's my giftedness. This is where I'll serve. I have a passion for this. I want to go there. I want to make a difference. Because it's better to hold the door open. It's better to hold the door open just so you can be where God is moving. And so if you've lost the wonder, if you've lost the longing, perhaps you need to take your eyes off yourself and engage in ministry to other people and watch what God does in your own life as you seek him. But you also pour in other people with your gifts, abilities, and talents in Jesus' name. And it can be your neighborhood, it can be your community, it can be right here at church on whatever campus you go to. Lots of opportunities for you to serve Jesus. And so, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell with the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Amen. No good thing. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. God is good. Amen. And no good thing does our good God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. No good thing does our good God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And so God is good, which means that one of the things that we wrestle with, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's part of the human condition and our sinfulness, is a problem with contentment. And so this is not only a journey of wonder and longing, but it's also a journey of seeking contentment. And if God is good, therefore we should view our life through the goodness of God, which means we should be content with our circumstances and how God has taken care of us in the time. So what does it mean to be content? Well, it means to be satisfied, all right with circumstances, okay with what you have. Contentment is a virtue. Contentment is a command. And frankly, most people don't experience it. And sadly, Christ followers who have Jesus as their source of life often rarely go to God to help them in their contentment. And yet, it's obvious as we read through Scripture that God desires for his children to seek after contentment through him. And so the idea is that we're called to contentment and we're called to be satisfied in him. We're called to say that we have enough. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this, maybe one of the most famous passages on contentment, says this, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this through him who gives me strength." Maybe you've memorized it. "I can do all things through him who gives me," what's the last word? strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And so we must, in all these things, constantly, consistently go to Jesus. You feel in your heart you're getting discontent, go to Jesus. You're comparing yourself with someone else, go to Jesus. Ask him what he thinks. And let him be the one who really helps you gauge how you're doing in your life. Let him be the one. I love this. So why don't we do this? Well, really, I think it comes down to a few things. It can come down to pride. Why don't we long after him? Why don't we seek him? Why are we so discontent as a people? It can be pride. It can be the fact that we feel like we're self-sufficient. I don't need anybody else. Look at all I got. I got myself here, right? It could be that. Along that with that is arrogance. It could be ignorance in a lot of cases. I think a generational thing is, I think it's distractions. I think that's a big part of it. It's definitely pride, definitely arrogance. I definitely think it's also distractions. What about all the noise we're dealing with? It's everywhere. We weren't made for all this information. We've got information overload. That's why we have this low-grade anxiety all the time. Because we weren't made to receive all this input all the time. Other people's voices in our head talking to us. All these things. And it builds up a little bit of angst. Have you felt that? Who knows what I'm talking about? This low-grade anxiety. Those of you that are older, you remember when it wasn't there. Those of you that are younger don't remember a time when it wasn't. And in a culture where there's so much noise, we got to be willing to tune out the noise and tune in to Jesus. And it means you might need to be ruthless with your schedule, with your priorities, with your calendar. And you make God the main thing, and then you also block out time to be with your family. You block out time to spend time in his word. You block out time. And then when someone asks you if you're doing something, you say, I'm busy, because you are. The idea is this. If you're willing to do that, then what you're saying is better is one day living for Jesus than 1,000 doing anything else. When you make Jesus your priority, and then all the other things that God has placed in your life that are these good gifts, and you're taking care of those things, your relationship with God, your family, your coworkers, your close circle, as you're working through these things, as you're living for Jesus, there's the blessing that he gives you in life. And honestly, better is one day living for Jesus than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen? If you are thinking about being a prodigal, I would encourage you to go to somebody else who's been a prodigal and has come back and ask them about their experience. And if they've come back, they will tell you that walking with Jesus is far better than any other cheap substitute that the world tries to offer, or Satan tries to offer for that matter. It's better to be with Jesus than anywhere else. So I would encourage you to enjoy God. Enjoy God. Bunch of verses here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Yes, delight in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. In your presence there is fullness of joy. As a deer pants for the water, the flowing stream, so my soul longs for you. My soul thirsts for you. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Romans 5:11. Do you see that there, last verse? That word reconciliation means to make friendly again. To be reconciled with God means now you are on friendly terms with God. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're now on friendly terms with God because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Amen? And the victory that now you receive through the fact that he's risen again. Amen? And so you've been reconciled with God. You've been made friendly with God. If you've been made friendly with God, get this. God's not mad at you. A lot of times we don't go to him because we think he's mad at us. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's not mad at you. In fact, he's wondering, what's going on? Why aren't you walking with me? I'm right here. I've done everything for you. I want to give you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Follow me. He's not mad at you. And if you haven't placed your faith in Christ alone for your Savior, we're told that you're an enemy of God. And God desperately wants you to come back to him and surrender your life and to repent. Because he wants you to walk with him. And he wants to call you his beloved, his child. So come on back. God's not mad at you. And I want to tell you this. You've been forgiven by Jesus. And so draw near to him. And he promises that he will draw near to you. Amen? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So blessed is the one who trusts in him. And just like you should be with him, and just like you should long to be with him, God longs to be with you. And so let's walk with God on this journey of life. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your strength. We thank you that you provide all these things through Jesus. May we long for you just like we long for breath. Jesus, you are our all and our everything. And in you we are satisfied. Nothing else compares to you. Thank you, Jesus.